All right, good morning. Can you hear me? All the way over there? All right, because we got more volume. We can crank it up if we need to. A little echo on it, a little more bass. All right, well, praise God. Hope you guys got some rest last night. Thank you so much for coming back. That's always important. Okay. Let's open up in a word of prayer, please, and we're going to jump in. Father, we thank you. Lord, that we can even call you Father, and you hear us. Thank you for your grace in all of our lives through Christ. And God, we pray for your wisdom. God, thank you for the promise that if we ask, you will give it to us, Lord, and we need it as we are trying to counsel the next generation, Lord. So I pray for this time that it would help each and every one of us. May we grab something new, different perspective, a different approach, God. But ultimately, Father, be able to be equipped to point people to Jesus Christ as we try to navigate our youth through all that they're going through. So we commit the time to you. Thank you, God, for this opportunity in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so we are going to talk about ministering to young people, philosophy of ministering to youth. Now, I'm going to mostly focus on the young person here. You heard Julie yesterday talking about the importance of who? The parents. So that goes in conjunction with this. This is the other side of the coin, if that makes sense. It's the parents and the youth. The parents absolutely should be involved. Again, I've been looking in all my Bibles, and I have not found the verse yet that says, counselors, train them up in the way they should go. I can't find it, right? It is the parents' primary responsibility to train their children in the things of God, not the counselors. Who else kind of gets tagged with this? Not the pastors. Thank you. I'm not your daddy, boy. Not the school. I get that a lot. I teach at a Christian school. Well, why don't you guys do? Why is my son? Maybe you should teach on this in your Christian school. And you say, well, how are you handling that at home? It's not the youth pastor's job. We all come alongside. But it's the parent's responsibility to train up your child in the way they should go. So we have to keep emphasizing that to our parents. If you start to feel them shifting more of the responsibility on you, just gently kind of shift it back. In love, speak the truth in love, okay? But let's talk about the youth. Consider the heart. No matter how old the child is, youth does not preclude real heart condition. I think sometimes it's easy to think the younger they are, well, they really don't know what they're doing. Right? He's only 6. He's only 4. No. He still has a heart. And within his comprehension, his cognitive development, he's making heart choices. We can't lose sight of that. So youth does not mean that there aren't real heart conditions going on. Okay? We have to keep that in mind as we're talking. So the Bible gives this command. To keep thy heart. Another way to say that would be to guard your heart with all diligence, fervor, intentionality, zeal. Why? Here's why. Because out of it are the issues of life. I often say to the teens, Whoever gets your time gets your mind. Whoever gets your mind gets your heart. And whoever gets your heart gets your life. There is no way to just allow anything to happen, come into the heart, and not have it affect the outward behavior. So again, the temptation a lot of times in counseling, especially with young people, we see the behavior, and we want to go after the behavior right away. But the behavior is a symptom of what's going on in the heart. Does that make sense? So at our Christian school, we have a discipline policy. What? You need a discipline policy at a Christian school? Yeah, it's the same reason you guys have discipline policies in your churches. But our discipline policy says that we believe in grace-oriented discipline. Grace-oriented discipline. And one of the things that we say in our discipline policy when it comes to dealing with youth is we will consider multiple factors. Not just the offense, but, and even sometimes more importantly than the offense, what do you think the very next thing is? What is the fill in the blank? Right? Intent, heart, good. What is the heart of the child? In other words, we know the offense happened. We know that happened. What is the heart saying? Is there repentance? Is there remorse? Or is it that type of repentance that is not repentance? I'm sorry, I got caught. That happens a lot too. What's really coming out of the heart? I'm actually right in the middle of a discipline issue at the school. Long emails going back and forth. And two people advocating. We need to show grace. No, Pastor Ron. We need to make a statement. Right? We deal with this all the time. I just text back and said, I'm in Texas. Thank God. No, I don't get off the hook. But so listening to the heart of this team, because ultimately, I don't want our youth to conform to the right behavior just because that's the rule. I want them to conform because it's coming out of the heart. They're realizing the choice that I made, the way that I'm thinking is contrary to what God says. And I want to do what pleases God. That's what I'm looking for. That's my goal in working with the young people. So, trying to get them to guard the heart. So the goal in biblical counsel is to change the heart through the application of God's Word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that, notice the very last thing I put in definition, the behaviors can change. It's not behavior first. It's heart. Now, there are going to be some obstacles to achieving this goal as we talk to young people. Most young people are fueled by what? Feelings, emotions. And those feelings and emotions that they are fueled by, to them, their emotions equal truth. So we have this massive tidal wave that we're trying to go up against called emotions. I cannot tell you how many times in the office I get, but Pastor Ron, it's feelings, it's feelings. So when we begin to talk with them, we have to understand the first thing you're going to confront are their emotions.
if you go right to depositing the truth, it'll probably bounce off. It'll probably bounce off. So in other words, finding, and we'll deal with this a little bit further here, finding a way to conversationally step into their emotions. Now that's scary, because you're going to see all kinds of, whoa, this is a weird room. But you got to do it. You have to be able to step into their emotions before you deposit the truth. Does that make sense? Now, Mark 7. Jesus again says, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? Now this is in the context where they are criticizing Jesus' disciples because they just left the marketplace and they didn't wash their hands. And they said, wow, well, what's the big deal? Well, this washing of hands is not like you and I, what we're thinking about. This isn't put the Pharrell on so you don't get any germs. This washing of hands was a purification that the Gentiles would go through when they left the marketplace and before... Jesus said, thank you. Yeah, I didn't get that one. And how theologian, I appreciate that, honey. Keep me straight. So the Jews would come from the marketplace. And just in case, while they were in the marketplace, they might have rubbed up against a Gentile. That would have made them unclean. And now they're going to sit down and eat. So they would go through this ritual of pouring water down their arms and cleansing themselves from any impurities from those Gentiles that they might have touched. Wow. Here comes Jesus' disciples from the marketplace. Oh man, give me some of that bread, man. Give me some of that fish. And the Pharisees are standing there. Look at your disciples. They didn't even cleanse themselves. That's the context. Well, what Jesus said, you are without understanding. Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? See the context now? Since it enters not his, what's in the clue? Heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Outward things do not make someone clean or unclean. It's what's emanating from the heart. Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the, what's the next word? Heart. Alright, just making sure you're all awake. Out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander. You get the idea. All these evil things come from where? Heart from within. This is what defiles a person. When we are counseling, ministering to you, we have to get them to see this reality. Your remark to the teacher that was inappropriate was not because the teacher kept calling on you. Was not because the teacher is picking on you. Was not because the teacher just doesn't like you. Your remark to that teacher was an indication of what is in your heart. You've got to get our young people to understand that. They will often come with a situation that has happened externally to them and then believe that their reaction, although unbiblical, is justified.
So you treat me a certain way, I'm going to treat you a certain way. You respond to me a certain way, I'm going to respond to you a certain way. And they're missing that Jesus said, no, it's what comes out of you. That's the problem. Now that's hard to deposit that truth into a young person who is very, very emotional, whose cognitive executive function is not quite developed yet. They're dealing with all those issues. So, you're going to have to exhale. Step into their world. Sit down. Look around this bizarre world. And hear them. But then deposit the truth. And that brings God's wisdom. Oftentimes when a teen comes in for counseling, and it's like Julie was saying, the parent will call and say, will you meet with my team? I said, well, I'll meet with them initially, but then I need to meet with you. Right? The team will come in my room, sit down, you know, typical, on the couch, slouching, arms crossed, 15-18. Dad emailed me that morning, could you please call him up? And okay. I said, hey, how you doing? Hi. You know why I called you up? Yeah, my dad. Right, you guys have heard the drill. Here's how I start that session. I say, let's just call him Joey. Because we always use John as an example. So let's use Joey. Hey, Joey, let me ask you a question. What is it that you think your dad is not getting? I don't know. What is it you think your dad is not getting? Well, he thinks he's so strong upon me. But then another thing, he thinks I'm getting information. But I'm getting more than information. What am I getting? I'm getting his heart. I'm getting his heart. Not only am I getting to hear his heart, I'm sitting in his room and I'm looking around at how he is processing things so that I can see where in his heart is he going on biblically. And I'm just making notes. I call it taking heart inventory. When I talk to a young person, I'm going to, and you may find this weird, I'm going to actually pave the way where they do most of the talking first. I can't even get my team to talk. Well, you can. You can. First pray over the session before you even come in. And then conversationally begin to engage them. Don't attack them. Don't make a judgment on the situation. But engage them. Joe, what is it that your dad is not getting? You know, teens love to tell you what's wrong with their parents. They will tell you how much of it is true, how much of it is not. That's not the point of that first session. I'm just taking heart inventory. And you can get a lot of information of what's going on in that teen's heart as you begin to talk. But the goal is to get to the heart. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole, is that where it is? Heart, I seek you. This is where I'm trying to move our young people. To really want to seek what God says. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So again, the idea of God's word guarding the heart, the behaviors will take care of itself. So I have to find out, how is this teen thinking? There is some way he's processing what he's going through that is either in conjunction with God's word or contrary to God's word. I need to move him to what God is saying about his current circumstance. And again, you're going to have to battle the emotion of the kid. You're going to have to, and that's why, again, it takes time. It takes time to do this. So, consider the heart, but also consider the relationship. Is the kid younger? Is the middle schooler? High schooler? This is where, let me just give my little soapbox speech on, can we gain anything from secular psychology? Everybody woke up now. Yeah, everybody's awake now. They're like, wait, who let this guy? Wait, this is a biblical counseling. Who let him in? Well, Julie invited me. So, can we gain anything from secular psychology? Let's just do a quick poll. This is a safe place. You can vote. You can vote within your heart. Who says, yes, we can gain from a secular psychologist? Okay. Who says, no, not really? Everybody's looking at the peer pressure there. Well, I believe we can. And here's one of those instances. Does a 5-year-old cognitively process like a 17-year-old? No. And if they do, there's something drastically developmentally wrong. How many of us as biblical counselors truly understand the developmental stages of the 5-year-old all the way up to the 17-year-old? Let's be honest. So if this is just how that age cognitively functions, processes, is that going to have bearing on how you speak to them? Oh my goodness, it is. And oftentimes, we fall into this trap of just, I have the truth of God's word that needs to change their heart. Amen. And we just, and boom, it bounces off. Let me give you an example. That would be like me sitting down with my little girl was 5 years old, and said, Hannah, it's my oldest, sit her on the bench. Hannah, do you know God loves you? Daddy, I know God loves you. Yeah, but do you realize that Jesus Christ was the propitiation for your sin, the sacrificial lamb, and that the old sacrificial system is no longer inaugurated? It is now, come on, you see the truth, girl. We wouldn't do that. Right? She doesn't have the cognitive ability to process some of these concepts. It's no different in counseling me. You have to consider, where are they? Now again, it's not a clear cut answer that all 12-year-olds are here. All 14-year-olds are here. No. I talked to some middle schoolers that have blown my mind. And I'm sitting here like, wait, say that again, Johnny? Oh, why was you saying that? Like my other friends at lunchtime, I think the reason that they keep on bullying Marcus is because they're really insecure about who they are. And I'm like, say that again? Like, is he just regurgitating something he said, or does he understand? And he understands that. But when we look at human development, that's all we're talking about. I think it's very important, depending on the age that you're working with, read, and I even hate this word secular. I really do. But that's another soapbox. But for the sake of conversation, read the secular knowledge that is out there. Read what the sociologists are saying about human development. It doesn't mean that we agree with how to handle the problems that they're going to run into. But if there is someone who has studied child development for 40 years and observing thousands and thousands of kids and how a typical 5-year-old, I want to know that information. It's going to help me as I'm trying to deposit truth. Does that make sense? We contextualize the truth to the age of their development, but we never compromise the truth. I think that's so important.
The truth is the same. But the approach should be adjusted. So sometimes we may be trying to interact with a youth and we're dumping truth, but it's on the channel of talking to a 25-year-old. And it's just not there. That is going to cause what? Frustration in you. And they're going to be sitting there thinking, this is so irrelevant. This does not matter. I just want to get out of here. One of the things that I'll say to a young person, right before we end the session, I'll say, do you understand everything I said? Be honest with me. Please, be honest. If you didn't, tell me. And he said, no, Pastor, I know what you're saying. I said, awesome. Do me a favor. You be the counselor. And I'll hand them the, because I have a whiteboard. All you guys have a whiteboard in the office. But you're not a real biblical counselor if you don't. You know that, right? I'll hand them the marker, and I'll sit down, and they'll get, and I said, in your own way, draw pictures, words, whatever you want. Illustrate what you learned from me. Boy, that is an awesome practice to teach your kids. As you know, at first they might feel a little unconscious, but oh, unconscious, no, that's not good. Call 911 if you're unconscious. They might feel a little subconscious. Does that mean subconscious, honey? Subconscious, thank you. Thank you. I don't know what you're right at. And so I'll say, well, no, just pretend that I'm your buddy and I'm 15 years old. Tell me what Pastor Ron told you. And then they're like, oh, okay, so this is God, and then this represents. You've got to make sure that you're landing in truth, because the only thing that's going to change that kid's heart is the truth of God's word. But if you're not landing the plane, what's the point? The last thing I want is for kids leaving my office, and yeah, I met with Pastor Ron. That was just a waste of time. I met with Pastor Ron, and I understand what God said in his word about my current situation, and I understand how I've been responding contrary to what God says. Now, what they do with it, that's not up to me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, conviction, and right. But I want to make sure I delivered the package, the truth. So you've got to consider the relationship. You've got to consider the age. There are going to be obstacles in dealing with youth. We've already hit on some of it, but again, you have these different worlds that you're coming from. You're coming from an adult world. It's hard to shift gears. Even though you may work with children, I wonder how many times you deliver the truth as if you're talking to an adult. And you don't even realize it. It's just kind of what you do. And you're frustrated because it doesn't seem like you're making a connection with them. Goes back to what I said prior. You have to consider their age developmentally, where they are and how they're processing. Okay? But you have these two different worlds. You guys know it's parents. One of the hardest things in parenting for us was shifting my mindset into the world of my five kids, who are all different. Now, when they were younger, you know, we had a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, and an 8-year-old. And then 5 years later, another one on the way. I'm out teaching all day, counseling. At this time, I was teaching at a seminary, so I'm all in the adult world. Come home, here comes your 6-year-old. Wants to talk to you about a problem. To make that shift into the mind of a 6-year-old, so often here's what happens. Dad newly called me a bad name on the bus. No, I'm really stupid. Where's your mom? Now, is Billy stupid? Because in my mind, name calling, a 6-year-old calling you a name against my adult world, where I just finished teaching, counseling with adult problems, is like, just that stupid, just ignore it. But just as my adult world is so real to me and has value, That 6-year-old's world has values and needs everything in it. And it's so hard to make that mental shift. We have to actually downshift and come to their level mentally. And that's hard because that's not who we are. But I'm convinced that that's part of the reason, after working with youth for 25 years, that a lot of youth say the Bible's irrelevant. They're irrelevant because they feel you don't understand my world. And I think it's because we don't make the shift. Which I go back to what I said yesterday about knowing the culture, knowing how they think, knowing what really grabs their attention. So we got these two worlds that are totally different. Tell you a funny story. So my daughter, she's 25 now, but when she was 13, she was into movies. Anyone ever hear of One Direction? Don't you wish you would have bought stock in that company? So I, knock on the door. How you doing? Knock on the bedroom door. Go away. Typical 13-year-old daughter. And I remember I was getting so frustrated because I'm like, I know she's going through something, but she won't talk. You feel that way? I remember praying for her, and the Holy Spirit said, keep pursuing. Next day, come home from work, kids are whatever, where's Hannah? She didn't know. What? It's Dad. What? How was your day? You want to talk? All right. Go back downstairs. Next day. This went on for, I know, at least 6 weeks of getting little to nothing. But God kept saying, Ron, I pursued you. You didn't pursue me. Keep pursuing them. And did I get frustrated? Was I getting sick of it? Was I getting tired of it? Was I outside your door like, okay, I'll talk to you when dinner's ready. I'm like, Lord, what's the point? And I will never forget the day. Yes? It's Dad. Hi. And I'm like, I'm in a costume game now. I was like, what are you doing? And I didn't know what to do with it. I'm like, and it's like, come on, idiot, say something. I'm like, can I come in? Sure. Fast forward. She's sitting on her floor. She's sitting on the floor. And she's pouring out her heart about one of the members in the boy band that were going to be leaving the band. I'm like, Holy Spirit, you have me pursuing with this? Let me tell you, that's what it looked like. And I sat there and why do you think he's going to leave after they've been torn so long? Do you think he's going to go solo? And maybe he's just going to do his own thing? And inside I'm like, oh, why am I talking about this? Like, there's not a fiber in my body that wants to be talking about a bully thing. Why was I doing it? Because I wanted to gain entrance into her heart. That I might see the things that she longs for. That I might introduce her to what God has to offer. That's why we do it. It's going to make us feel a little uncomfortable. We're going to have to cut against the grain a little bit. This is what we have to do, folks. We got to do this. Fast forward. She's 25 now. I get a test. Hey, Dad. Hey, can I take you out to lunch? Absolutely. Where do you want to go? Let's go to that Thai restaurant in Old Bridge. Sounds good, friend. That's the fruit of building a bridge into young people's lives. You've got to take the time to do it. How much more our kids should be priority? If you're working with youth,
I'm telling you, and you have your own kids, they should be getting the first fruits of you. Not the people in the youth group, or not the kids who are being dropped off in youth council. God convicted me of that big time. So, two different worlds. You have to bridge the gap. Time. Time becomes an issue. Again, I think when we talk to people in a counseling setting, you know, we have all the biblical counseling training in our head, right? And somebody comes in. You ever feel this way? They come in, you just left an ABC conference, right? And they come in with anger. And you're like, oh, yeah. I know. And you want to download all this stuff that you heard, right? And it just starts bouncing off. And you sit there at the biblical counter and think, why aren't you getting this? This is so crystal clear in my mind. Right? We have to give time. We have to give time. People are going to wrestle with the biblical truth that you give. They're going to wrestle with trying to understand, what does it have to do with me? How much more of a young person who doesn't even have some of the same points of reference that you have? Again, this is why it's so important to adapt and come down to their level. They're going to need time to process these things. Cognitive development, we've already hit on that. Understanding the way I'm presenting this truth to this 9-year-old. Do they actually have the cognitive ability to process it? It's not about changing the truth, but changing how you're presenting it. I wonder, and I was going to do this, but I just didn't. But I was going to hand out to you guys different ages. I'd give you a 9-year-old, give you a 5-year-old, give you a 7-year-old, top of the paper, 7-year-old, that's who you have, and then give you a dilemma, and see how you would counsel that. That would be a great exercise. Right? Try that exercise among your people sometimes, whoever's in counseling. Just give them different ages. And say, okay, here's the deal. They're coming in and you're dealing with peer pressure. What do you say to them? Because don't be stupid. is that the 17-year-old or the 17-year-old? But understanding your cognitive development is so important. You know, this doesn't mean you have to dumb down the truth. So please don't mishear what I'm saying. We're not talking about dumbing down the truth. But think about it in the spirit of what Jesus said. What happened when all these little kids wanted to come near to Jesus? And he said, don't forbid them from coming, for such is the kingdom of God. And unpack that on your own time. There is something sweet about a childlike faith that doesn't have all this baggage, that doesn't have all this indoctrination and programming in their hearts, but just innocent childlike faith. Like, Jesus, you say you're the way, I believe in Jesus. Wouldn't it be awesome if all our kids were like that? But they have so much of this programming and baggage that, but don't dumb down the truth. But give them the truth in a way that matches their cognitive comprehension, their temperament. You know, somebody walks in the office and let's call this kid Johnny. So we're back to Johnny. Johnny's in my office. Johnny's in 9th grade. And Johnny is just as nervous as I go. I don't know. He's just nervous. He can't sit straight. And he's just like fidgeting and turning, right? And I'm a pretty passionate guy when I counsel. And this is something the Lord had to say, Ron, you have to adjust for people's temper. And Johnny was in there all, and I'm just like going at, yeah, that's why. And I noticed the more I'm talking, the more he's fidgeting more. Like, he's just, and I got more passionate about what he needs in the truth. But Johnny, but this is why Jesus. And I realized, oh my goodness, I'm fueling this kid. He was already an anxious kid, and then your passion is actually causing his anxiety to go off. So I had to learn to read the temperaments of people. Again, this is where secular psychology has something to offer. Typically, a melancholy person will respond better if you do it this way. That's valuable information. So when I come into the office and there's a new kid there, I'm noticing their temperament. And how do I get to know their temperament? I ask them questions that have nothing to do with why they're here. You know, one kid came in, Aaron, I'll be with him. He came in. I don't know the kid, but I got all kinds of pictures in my office. I got a picture of an African elephant. And he said, man, I said, man, what you think that is? That's one of the elephants. Yeah, I know, but what kind of elephant do you think that is? It's an elephant. I said, but there's different kinds of elephants. Did you know there's different kinds of elephants? He's like, no, really? And we start talking about African elephants. We start talking about white elephants are rare. You know? And he was like, why am I doing that? Because I want to talk about elephants? No, I want to engage with him. See where he is emotionally, where his temperament is, and I want to see where he is cognitively. And then we can start talking about the issue. Here's another big obstacle, broken relationship. So many kids have so much baggage. So you're trying to counsel kids. You're trying to get to the heart. You're trying to give the word of God to them. Awesome. You're trying to consider their cognitive development, all those things, yes. But here's what you often don't know, is what's going on in their home. And what other things are happening to this kid. And he's processing everything you're saying through that grid of what's happening at home. This is why we've got to take time. Again, these are obstacles that we have to gently remove out of the way so that the truth can be deposited. And this is going to take time. You know, you're not necessarily going to figure all this out on day one. Now, sometimes you might. Let's call this little boy Michael. Michael's about 11 at the time, I believe. I'm talking to him. He's acting out in class. And teacher's like, that's it. Go to Pastor Ron. I love being the head of discipline. It's actually a wonderful opportunity to counsel kids. So he comes in and says, hey, Mike, how was math class today? Now, I already know he got sent out because they get sent out and they have to sit in the lobby, and, you know. And so I just kind of walk in. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Hey, let's talk. Hey, how's math? Aren't you supposed to be in math? Yeah, that kicked out. Oh, wow. Okay. Did you not understand math? And so you got frustrated because I didn't like math either, man. I hated math. As a matter of fact, when I was in high school, I begged Carlson Pryor, my math teacher, to pass me because I had a D and I was going to fail, not just go on. And he's looking at me, he's like, really? Really, Pastor Ron? Really? Really? I said, yeah, yeah. I said, but, you know, praise God. I said, so what happened? Did you walk out? And she kicked me out. I said, why? Because she called on me and I gave the answer and went wrong. I said, okay, I've been wrong about a lot of stuff too. Why did that? So what happened? So then I said something I shouldn't have said because she said I was wrong. I said, oh, man. Ooh. I said, you didn't call her like a name, like Dumbo or anything like that. You never see that movie Dumbo by Disney? That's a good movie. And now he's laughing. Did you see what I'm doing? I'm trying to gain access. And then he says this to me. He said, I shouldn't have said it, but I'm just angry. I said, why? Because my dad left last night. Wow. And again, you know, the kid drops that on you, what do you do? Don't freak out, you know. Again, he's not, you know, so I just said, oh, he had good work. He worked like third shift, like overnight. No, he like left. He said he's not coming back. And my mom arguing with his daughter. And I'll leave him and left. And he wasn't here this morning when I got up to school. Now, we got a much bigger issue than him getting kicked out of math class. Does it justify him staying explicit in the reason to the teacher? No, it doesn't. But it gives you context. Right? So again, you never know what's happening relationally in the home of these kids. Okay, and real quick, lack of adaptation. Again, that just becomes an obstacle. If you're not willing to adapt your approach, it's going to be an obstacle to being able to pull that truth into the heart of our kids. So, real quick, and then we'll take some questions. Give truth conversationally. the breakfast. That's why I was bringing up Dumbo the movie, and did you see this? And I do that throughout the conversation. Why? Because if I just keep trying to deposit truth, it's going to back off. Share your life. I feel mad too. But don't compare. Now again, make their interests yours, but not in a weird way. Like, don't lie to them. Okay? They're into some type of Pokemon character. Oh, I like him too. No, you don't even know a Pokemon. Oh, I'm just trying to build a bridge. No, you're not. You're lying. That doesn't help. Right? But try to connect. Find something that they can. And again, this is where, you know, sometimes adults will say, I don't have anything in common. Yes, you do. If you have nothing else in common, do you know one thing that you do have in common with you? Food. Hey, if you had $20 and you had a buy lunch at an amusement park, what would you get? Oh, I get a funnel cake. And then, oh, man, me too. I love funnel cakes. You can always connect with them. So make their interest yours. Again, you're trying to gain access to the heart. Make room for the emotions. Don't ignore them. Please don't ignore them. Oh, you shouldn't feel that way. I think you're overreacting. Don't do that. The minute you do that, you lose credibility. If I would have said that to my daughter sitting in her room, she was overreacting, I would have lost credibility and I would not be seeing the fruit today, 12 years later, of sitting at a Thai restaurant and talking about the real issues of life that have nothing to do with a boy band. And always make sure that you see the truth blend. Give me a marker. Hey, pretend I'm you. Teach me what I just told you. And then we gotta stop there. Question. Yeah, whoever gets your time gets your mind. Whoever gets your mind gets your heart. Whoever gets your heart gets your life. And that's not copyright, so you can go ahead and use that however you want. Question. Yes, go ahead, sir. Read that one. Ah, that's a great question, because I pushed it. Now I don't have no resources for you. But Julie, do you deal with that in one of your books? Building. Excellent. Excellent. Good. Yeah, that's a good one. You got that one, brother? Okay, good. Excellent. Thank you, guys. All right. Okay. There was a book years ago, but probably I don't. I don't agree with half the stuff anymore. It's called Raising Baby Kids. Baby's Kids. Anybody know about Baby's Kids? Okay. All right, another question. Monique.
I have a teacher in kindergarten. about cooking, you know, breading, cooking, you know, all those wonderful little things. How do I modify with the attention of this discipline for a child who really, you know, how much of it is him, how much of it is, well, I can't tell you.
Right, yeah, and he's how old?
He's like four.
He's like four. Julie! I mean, Julie has really worked, you know, she's like a special girl. I'm more middle school, high school girl. Yep. Well, again, I think with a 10-year-old, you can start talking more concretely. This idea of an impulse and what comes out of my mouth is inappropriate. I think trying to make a distinction between the impulse from what comes out of your mouth, right? Again, talking about, hey, you know, those words are unkind, that those words, and well, I just can't help it, I just said it. You know, but, you know, when you feel that physical, and you just, well, I've got to say something, what if you said, give her a word? What if you said, Jerry? What if you said, Bloom? Right? In other words, this is debatable, so it'd be interesting to see what Julie and Elijah think about this. There might be an impulse that I have, but the word that I'm saying that's derogatory, I think you still have responsibility for that. Because that, I think that's still coming out of the heart, right? The physical, I just feel like I gotta just hit something. That could be a real thing, right? But do I have to hit you? Right? So I think you have to make a distinction on her level. I don't know if you want to jump. Excellent. You want to come up with some books? Okay. And we only got about a couple minutes, and we'll give you guys a break, okay? But yeah, please.
I was telling about something that's not in the ABC bookstore. It is for sale here. So I don't know if you guys know it, but if you walk all the way down to the dealer and you start to turn to the right, there's a publishing is right there. They have this is the 31-day devotional for teens. And I'm just going to show you the topics: anxiety, body image, and identity. I love this one. So all of them are great. They're all topics that you guys can deal with. So if you're looking for something, you can do those. Let me know your name. I'll help you get to the heart of what you're dealing with. The last book I will recommend to you guys is this book. This book is absolutely fantastic. And I am so grateful for it. I'm actually going to keep a little teaser of what I learned from it. And the things that I learned is that you have to do it. And it is an opportunity, as with you or one of you guys said yesterday, it's an opportunity to really kind of know and understand the what is an opportunity for you? There is always, God is always working on molding your heart, working on your heart. So if you are a parent, you do not have a child, even if it just slowly sits on your nightstand for a couple of years, you will benefit from the little bit of information. If you work with children, this is not the number one thing. Yeah, help it. So those are some books. You guys got a 15-minute break or so, and you can rest there, or you can just be there directly on the not in the regular book. Okay, rest.